Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus says, stand up and raise your heads. We all know how important body language and posture can be, don't we? When I arrive home and see my children, I can tell a lot about the day just from the body language. If heads are down, if shoulders are hunched over, something has gone wrong. If heads are raised, if they're standing upright, it's been a better day. There's hope there, there's joy, there's expectation. Our Lord Jesus says that he will come again. We confess he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So the question then is, how will you meet him? What is our posture to be when Christ returns? Is it one of fear and dread, cowering and hiding, or will you, can you, meet him with confidence, with hope, and with joy? This is what we want to think about today from our text. And we'll look first at the posture of hope, second at the posture of heavy hearts, and third, the posture of prayer. So the posture of hope, the text begins with some signs that Jesus says will accompany his appearing. It's fairly dramatic sort of stuff. He says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, roaring of the seas and the waves, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The final appearing of Christ Jesus is an event of such magnitude that the whole created order is affected. You remember when God created the world, he brought order out of chaos. Now in Christ's appearing, it's almost as if the whole created order is coming unstuck. It's a truly earth-shattering event. And yet, even for all that, the focus of our Lord's words here are not so much on the signs themselves, but on the effect of those signs on people. So four words are used here for the effects. There will be distress. There will be confusion. People will faint from fear. There'll be a sense of foreboding. For the people of this world, apart from Christ, his return is not one that is met with confidence. Instead, it's characterized by fear. It's the sort of stuff that makes you want to run and hide. And that's not surprising, given what Jesus has described in these signs. But what is surprising is that when he turns his attention to the disciples, when he turns his attention to you, dear people of God, he describes a completely different sort of posture. He says, now when these things begin to take place, you stand up. You raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I certainly remember my parents would tell me to stand up straight, sit up straight, keep your head up. I'm sure you remember that sort of thing as well. I remember the constant refrain from my football coaches, especially when the team was getting beaten, perhaps. They'd say, no matter what happens, just keep your head up. Keep your head up. Because to stand up straight with heads lifted high is the posture of confidence, of hope, of expectation, of joy. And that is how you, as a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, can meet him when he appears in glory. But why? What's the reason? Well, Jesus says, because your redemption is drawing near. There are these two ways in the text of meeting Christ. One in fear, the other in confidence. One in distress, the other in hope. And what is it that marks out the two groups? It's not anything intrinsic in themselves. It's not that one group is inherently more worthy than the other. And here, it's not even that one group is morally superior than another, even though in the gospel reading last week we heard of the importance of good and evil in the final judgment. The big difference here that Jesus talks about when it comes to your posture at the end is whether you know the redemption that is in Christ Jesus or whether you don't. Why can you meet him in confidence, in hope, and in joy? It's because the same Jesus who comes again in glory is the one who came into our broken world in his flesh. The same one who went to the cross to give his life for you. The one who comes again in glory is the one who came to redeem you. That is, to pay the price for your sins. His holy and precious blood. He did it so that you would belong to him. Jesus has rescued you from more than just a bad posture. In fact, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, not just hunched over, flat on your back, spiritually dead, and he has made you alive. He has stood you on your feet so that you can stand before him in confidence. So keep your head up. That's the posture of hope. But then notice in the text, there's also a different posture described, the posture that I've called the one of heavy hearts. According to Jesus, heads and shoulders, which are hunched over when he returns, begin with hearts which have been weighed down in this life. Jesus says, be on guard against this. Be on guard against your hearts being weighed down. We still talk about having heavy hearts, don't we? And it's true, we all know that there are things in life which weigh us down from the very core of our being. I wonder what they are for you. Well, here, Jesus is speaking especially of heaviness of heart in the sense of a sort of gradual spiritual weariness of the soul, a spiritual tiredness and dullness that sort of creeps into life. And it's interesting to listen to what he focuses on as those things to be on guard against which can do this to us. He says, dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Now, I must admit, I had to look up the word dissipation in the English dictionary. But rather than give you a definition today, I want to give you a modern paraphrase of the Bible, which can be quite helpful at this point. Again, our Bible says dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Here's the paraphrase. It says, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. That's actually not a bad application of what Jesus is getting at here, I think. Jesus says there are certain activities in life which, when taken to excess, do dull our faith. They weigh our hearts down, and it's good to be aware of these things. You may remember 2 weeks ago, in the earlier section of this teaching, we heard Jesus give another warning. There he said that you should beware when dramatic events take place in the world that you are not deceived and led astray. In that case, the problem is sort of something like a spiritual panic which makes us vulnerable. But here, it's almost the opposite problem. Here, it's not a spiritual panic, but it is complacency. And here, the threat isn't out there. The threat is in here, Jesus says, in the heart. And isn't this an important caution for us to hear on November the 28th, when we're about to enter December? What else is December for many people but parties and drinking and shopping? Now, it's not that there's something wrong with these in and of themselves. I enjoy parties, I enjoy a drink, not so much shopping, but that's okay, each to their own. These things are not wrong in themselves, but taken to excess. There is something about them, Jesus says, which weighs our hearts down. In the sense of our hearts beginning to settle more here on earth, rather than being drawn to heaven. These things can cause us to sort of nod off in our spiritual life, so that the day of Jesus' return catches us out. It's echoing his parable of the sower, if you remember the seed that fell among the thorns. When Jesus says, as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This is the posture of heavy hearts. There's the posture of hope. Beware, though, of the posture of heavy hearts. Finally, there's sort of a practical antidote, which is the posture of prayer. Jesus says, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Be alert, or stay awake. The image is almost like being on night shift. The posture we are to adopt in life is one of spiritual vigilance, like a guard on sentry duty, keeping alert and awake, especially as people of prayer. Prayer is so simple and yet so profound in the Christian life. Regular habits of prayer will keep you spiritually sharp, Jesus says. As your prayer life slips, you will become spiritually dulled. That's certainly the way it's been in my life. Of course, lest we think we can do this by our own strength, we need to remember that no sooner does Jesus give this instruction than his disciples get a little test, the Garden of Gethsemane. Forget about a whole lifetime of staying awake and praying. How about just a few minutes? They fail, of course, as we all do in this life of vigilance and prayer. Thank God there was one who did not fail, who did stay awake and pray that the Father's will be done. And thank God there is one who still prays at the Father's right hand for us, so that in him and by his strength you can keep awake and learn to pray, so that you can stand confidently before the Son of Man. Keep in mind, by the way, that this instruction about prayer is given in the plural. This was another one of those cases where I was glad they made me learn Greek. Go back to those football coaches of mine who used to tell me to keep my head up on the field. What's amazing is how there can be a team dynamic in that. When a team is getting beaten and losing hope, you can see the despair spread through the team as one by one the heads drop. It's an amazing phenomenon to watch. It's much easier to keep your head up and have hope when you're doing it together in a team. So it is in the Christian life, in the life of the church. We keep awake and pray by gathering and joining together in the life of the worshiping community. To shift the metaphor, night shift on your own is brutal, but it's much easier if you're with others. The Christian church is a sort of perpetual communal night shift where together we draw strength from the Lord. And our posture here in worship matters too. We stand and sit, we kneel, we bow. As a pastor, Sunday by Sunday, I look out and I see many postures, lots of body language. It says a lot. On any given Sunday, I can tell that some of you are joyful, confident, and full of life, while others are anxious and fearful and carrying burdens. As we confess our sins, many heads are down. Not necessarily in fear, but in reverence, in repentance, yes, in sorrow over sin. But one of the great privileges I have as a pastor is to speak Christ's word of absolution, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, and see those heads lifted up. We may come into God's presence carrying the cares and anxieties of the world which weigh our hearts down, but we are welcomed and forgiven by our Redeemer. And so our heads are lifted up. Then, as we prepare to receive the body and blood of our Lord, what do we sing? Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hearts. Lifted heads at Christ's return begin with lifted hearts in his presence now. Because here the Christ who came and will come again continually comes to you, bringing his redemption in water and word, in bread and wine, keeping you awake until he comes again. Now, as a father, I find myself saying many things to my children that I heard as a child. Among them are, stand up straight, sit up straight, and keep your head up. Because it's important to face life with confidence, with your head held high. But even more important is that you know when Christ appears in glory, you can meet him with confidence. You can meet him with joy and eager expectation. You can stand up and raise your head because your redemption draws near. In the meantime, don't let your heart get weighed down. Let us be alert and awake. Let us be people of prayer. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in the church, no matter what happens in your family and in your life, keep your head up. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.